We're going to turn to scripture now, and as Chris has already led us, we're thinking about the Emmaus Road, and Chris, you got that right, very good. We're going to think about that story, but first we're going to turn to Psalm 139, beginning at verse 7, where we're reminded that God's presence is with us and is everywhere. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as day. Darkness and light are the same to you. And then we turn to the account in Luke's Gospel at chapter 24 about the road to Emmaus. We pick up the story at verse 13. That same day, two of Jesus' followers were walking to the village of Emmaus, 7 miles from Jerusalem. As they walked along, they were talking about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things, Jesus himself suddenly came and began walking with them. But God kept them from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing so intently as you walk along?" They stopped short, sadness written across their faces. Then one of them, Cleopas, replied, "You must be the only person in Jerusalem who hasn't heard about all these things that have happened here the last few days." "What things?" Jesus asked. "The things that happened to Jesus, the man from Nazareth," they said. "He was a prophet who did powerful miracles, and he was a mighty teacher in the eyes of God and all the people. But our leading priests and other religious leaders handed him over to be condemned to death, and they crucified him. We had hoped he was the Messiah who had come to rescue Israel. This all happened 3 days ago. Then some women from our group of his followers were at his tomb early this morning, and they came back with an amazing report. They said his body was missing, and they had seen angels who had told them Jesus is alive. Some of our men ran out to see, and sure enough, his body was gone, just as the woman had said." Then Jesus said to them, "You foolish people. You find it so hard to believe all that the prophets wrote in the scriptures. Wasn't it clearly predicted that the Messiah would have to suffer all these things before entering his glory?" Then Jesus took them through the writings of Moses and all the prophets, explaining from all the scriptures the things concerning himself. By this time, they were nearing Emmaus and at the end of their journey. Jesus acted as if he were going on, but they begged him, "Stay the night with us, since it is getting late." So he went home with them. As they sat down to eat, he took the bread and blessed it. Then he broke it and gave it to them. Suddenly their eyes were opened and they recognized him. And at that moment, he disappeared. They said to each other, "Didn't our hearts burn within us as he talked with us on the road and explained the scriptures to us?" And within the hour, they were on their way back to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 disciples and the others who had gathered with them, who said, "The Lord has really risen. He appeared to Peter." Then the two from Emmaus told their story of how Jesus had appeared to them as they were walking along the road, and how they had recognized him as he was breaking the bread. And just as they were telling about it, Jesus himself was suddenly standing there among them. "Peace be with you," he said. But the whole group was startled and frightened, thinking they were seeing a ghost. And again, we thank and praise God for his word to us. And again, it is our prayer that we will understand his words more clearly. Let's pray together. So, Father, as we have heard your word read, and as we now come to reflect upon it, we ask for the help of your Spirit, not only in our understanding, but in putting your word into practice. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So with the current restrictions with us at the moment, one of the things that lots of people are doing more of is walking. It's been really interesting just to observe, either from the manse here or when I'm on my walk, how many family groupings are together. In the past, teenagers wouldn't be seen dead walking with their parents, but now they're walking and getting out for some exercise. Now, some of you like your walking and you're enjoying that. Some things, for some people, it's perhaps a new experience doing a lot more walking, and because that's really the only exercise that we're getting. But of course, then today's lectionary reading takes us to that account of these two disciples on their walk back to Emmaus. We're told that it happens, that this happens on the evening, on later on that day of that resurrection day, of that Easter Sunday morning. All that has happened, they're mulling over in their minds, they're deep in conversation, they're in discussion. How can this have really happened? They've heard reports from the woman that this Jesus, whom they have been following, is actually alive. How can this be? We saw him killed, put to death on the cross on the Friday. How can he now be alive? And so they're confused, but their manner is also very much one of being downcast. Luke not only records the story, it's also in some later accounts of Mark's gospel, in Mark 16, verses 12 and 13. We've said it ourselves and we've heard it said, we're living in strange times, aren't we? We could never have envisaged that we would be living in the way that we're living at the moment. But these were really strange times for the disciples. For us, it's strange because we have so many emotions with us at the moment. Perhaps we're feeling very frustrated because we're not able to meet together, and this isn't the perfect way of worshiping God. And so we're frustrated. But these were really strange times for the disciples. Apparently, Jesus was alive. But how could that be? Dead people just don't come back to life, do they? So we know the story of how Jesus then appears and walks alongside the two disciples. But verse 16 intrigues me. Their eyes, though, were prevented from recognizing him. Some translations actually make it clearer and say God prevented them from recognizing Jesus. Now, different scholars suggest different things as to how we should understand this. Was it really God who prevented them from recognizing Jesus? Why would that be the case? Some scholars say that it was their own faulty expectations, that they were expecting a political Messiah and now Jesus had died and they were downcast, and so they didn't recognize Jesus because of their own faulty expectations. Some scholars suggest that they couldn't recognize Jesus because of his resurrected state, and that was the reason. Some people also suggest that maybe because they were so downcast, they were looking downward and they didn't actually look upwards to see that it was Jesus. But frankly, this doesn't make any sense because Jesus spoke to them and they didn't even recognize his voice either. Regardless of the reason and who it was who prevented them from recognizing Jesus, the fact remains that they didn't recognize Jesus. Now, we might be tempted when reading this story to look down on Cleopas and his friend and think to ourselves, how could you not recognize Jesus? You'd been following him, but you're not recognizing him. How could this be the case? But of course, we remember in the gospel accounts how Mary in the garden that morning, bringing spices to anoint the body of Jesus, and sees that the tomb is empty and talks to this man who she believes to be the gardener and is really Jesus. She doesn't recognize that it is really Jesus. In John 21, we read of the disciples going out fishing, and Jesus is standing on the beach, and they don't recognize that it's Jesus. Then this man tells them to put the nets across to the other side of the boat, and all of a sudden they catch fish when they hadn't caught any fish previously. And then we're told they recognize that it was Jesus. So what was it that prevented these followers of Jesus from recognizing him? For me, in the end, I think we have to leave this question hanging a bit, which is a bit unsatisfactory for me, because we don't know for sure. But the disciples on the road to Emmaus got me thinking about how we go on a journey through life and we have Jesus walking alongside us. Sometimes we recognize his presence with us, but perhaps not always. There's a story of a king who decided to set aside a special day of honor to honor the greatest civilian in the kingdom. When the big day arrived, there was a large gathering in the palace courtyard. Four finalists were brought forward. And from these four, the king would select the winner. The first person presented was a wealthy philanthropist. The king was told that this man was highly deserving of the honor because of his humanitarian efforts. He had given much of his wealth to the poor. The second person was a celebrated physician. The king was told that this doctor was highly deserving of the honor because she had rendered faithful and dedicated service to those who were sick for many years. The third person was a distinguished judge. The king was told that this judge was worthy of the honor because he was noted for his wisdom and fairness and for his brilliant decisions. The fourth person was an elderly woman. Everyone was quite surprised to see her there. Because of her manner, she was quite humble, and so was her dress. She hardly looked the part of someone who should be honored as the greatest subject in the whole of the kingdom. What chance could she possibly have when compared to the other three who had accomplished so much? Well, the king also was intrigued, to say the least, and somewhat puzzled by her presence. He asked who she was, and then came the answer. You see, the philanthropist, the doctor, and the judge? Well, she was their teacher. The woman had no wealth, no fortune, no title, but she had unselfishly given her life to help produce great people. There is nothing more powerful or more Christ-like than sacrificial love. The king could not see the value in the humble lady. She didn't recognize the significance of the teacher. Often in life, we miss the significance of those who come in and out of our lives. It might surprise us to think that we might on occasions even miss the presence of Christ alongside us. Just as Cleopas and his friend on that Easter day missed the presence of Christ, they didn't recognize Jesus with them. In all three of the New Testament cases above, people had a fixed view, and that was Jesus isn't here. They didn't expect to see Jesus, and so they didn't. The challenge for me, and I simply offer to you, is this: Do I recognize Jesus beside me as I travel through life? Where do I see God, especially when news of coronavirus is all-encompassing? There's three areas that I want to briefly suggest where we can observe where God is at work and how Jesus is alongside us. First of all, in creation. Paul tells us in Romans 1 that God has made himself known throughout all of creation. With less people around, I don't know about you, but I'm seeing more wildlife. With less traffic on the roads, I'm hearing more of the birds singing. We've had such beautiful weather recently, haven't we? And when you see a beautiful sunrise or a beautiful sunset with those wonderful colors, we see God's creative handiwork. We see that Jesus is alongside us in all of creation. But we also see Jesus in other people. We're spending more time with those in our households. And of course, there's plenty of those who are on their own and they would love to have more people around them. But whether or not you have people around you in your own homes, there is so much love as people take time to contact each other. And whether that's through through WhatsApp or through phone calls or through having Zoom meetings or whatever platform you use, because when there is love, there is God. For God is the origin of all love. So let's observe Jesus in the love that we have with other people. A third way I want to suggest is through strangers in need. I think back to that wonderful passage in Matthew 25 when the disciples say, "Lord, when did we see you?" And Jesus replies, "When you gave me a drink, when you gave me something to eat, when you visited the needy, when you ministered to these people, you were serving me. There I was." What a privilege it is to meet people in the people we serve. We meet Jesus in the people we serve, especially at this time as we're asked to maybe get some groceries or to get a prescription for someone, simple things. But it is wonderful to meet Jesus in that way. Having good eyesight is a precious gift. For these last few years, I've had to wear glasses, and even with a recent trip to the optometrist, I have to have a second pair of glasses for when I'm reading a book or on the computer or things like that. Yes, certainly eyesight is a precious gift. But here's a closing thought about seeing Jesus and seeing God. In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, "God blesses those whose hearts are pure, for they will see God." Now, nobody's heart is pure in the ethical sense. So how could anybody see God in this way? But what did Jesus mean when he said this? Being pure in heart isn't simply about living up to a moral code, for no one can meet that standard. Being pure in heart is about putting into practice the gift of faith which comes from God. It allows us to see that Jesus is with us in every part of our life. For me, the easiest way to describe being pure in heart is to be humble towards God and hungry for God. So we recognize the Lord in our journey through life, through being humble before God and through being hungry for God, keen to see how Jesus is walking alongside us. Of course, we offer our worship to God. We engage with God through our own prayers, through reading and reflecting on Scripture, through being in fellowship with each other, though it is a different format for what we're used to. And through the love and kindness and compassion of others around us. We remember how the psalmist said those words, that wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we cannot flee from God's presence, for God is always with us. So if you're on the front line treating people who have COVID-19 or any other illness, Jesus walks with you. If you're a key worker in any other sphere in life, Jesus walks with you. If you're feeling isolated, missing so much family and friends, Jesus walks with you. If you're experiencing pain, or if you're on top of the world, Jesus walks with you. And for us as a church family, and of course, as a worldwide body of Christ, we are on a journey through this pandemic. We can't see what the destination will look like, but we know that church will look and be different on the other side, whatever that will look like or be like, and we just don't know. But we as a church, as the people of God, are on this journey, and we know that Jesus walks with us. The Lord is always with us by his Spirit. Sometimes we recognize him, sometimes we perhaps don't. May it be our prayer that God will give us the eyes of faith to recognize Jesus walking alongside every part of our journey through life, for it is only in him that we have life and hope. Amen. Let us pray together. Lord, we know that you're always with us, even though we don't always recognize it. Lord, in every aspect of our lives, help us to recognize you with us through the good times and through the more challenging times. And we thank you that your love surrounds us always. Amen.